We now begin the fourth and final parak of Maseches Bikurim. This will be the last chapter in Bikurim, and therefore the last chapter in all of Seder Zeroyim. Although the truth is that it's almost certain that this chapter was not originally part of the Mishnayos, but was appended later on, and actually is a set of prices. There are a few reasons to think that. First of all, the Gemara in Yevamos Pei Gimel refers to one of these Mishnayos as a brisa, as opposed to a Mishnah. Second of all, when the Rambam counts the number of chapters that there are in the Mishnayos, his total count is 523, which means our set of Mishnayos is 525 prakim. So that discrepancy of two chapters is almost certainly, first of all, the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos, which are brisas, and then this fourth chapter of Bikurim. Because of that, essentially, no Rishonim have a perish on this fourth chapter of Bikurim. The only exception is the Rush, Rishimshin Mishants, and even the Bartanura has nothing, as Rishon actually, has nothing to say on this this parak either. So we are going to be relying on Rishimshin Mishants, who actually, in truth, has been an unsung hero throughout Seder Zeroyim for us. And therefore, let me just give a 1 minute about him so it doesn't get short shrifted. The Rush is probably the third most important of the Balei Tosfos after Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, and he was a student of Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. The Tosfos that we have throughout our Bavli are essentially his versions of Tosfos' commentary, meaning the school of Tosfos, that were maybe edited a little later on, but they really come primarily through him. So the Rush based his work heavily on the Yerushalmi and the Tosefta, and he wrote a parish on Mishnayos, one of the few, and you see here he's the only one, in Bikurim at the end, and therefore he is really a primary source that supports our learning of Seder Zeroyim for sure, as well as Taros, and the Bar Tanur relied heavily upon him as well, so he's been involved in, with us the whole way through. Shinshin Mishants, he had his yeshiva in Sens in France, modern-day France. Sens, the French word, became Shantz in Jewish talk, as many other cities, like, for example, Mainz was Magenza, etc. Now, and the Rush, at the end of his life in 1211, went with 300 rabbis from France and England to Eretz Yisrael. So he actually ended up in Eretz Yisrael, and he's buried in Akko. Now, we'll rely on him to explain this our Mishnayos here. The truth is that there's a number of versions of these Mishnayos, so we will work off the version that's attributed to and the version of the Rashash, which is Rav Shimshon Mishants. Usually we refer to him as the Rush, simply. In English, R-A-S-H, the Rush, as opposed to the Rosh. Okay, so now the topic of our chapter here is the Androgynos. Androgynos is someone who has genitalia of both male and female. And that being the case, whether he's a male or a female is ambiguous. And this, therefore, is quite similar to the story of the koi we had in the previous parak. We said it was ambiguous whether this koi was a behema or a chaya. Because of that similarity, it seems that the topic of the androgynous was appended here to the end of Bikurim. Now, just a few points on androgynous. First of all, in English, there are really three words that could refer to someone who has both male and female parts. The first is hermaphrodite, the second, androgyne, and the third, intersex. Hermaphrodite seems, although it is a Greek word that Chazal could have had access to, it seems to have not been very popular, and not popular at all, not used, because the hermaphrodite is... the word etymology is from the word Hermes and Aphrodite from Greek mythology coming together. Therefore, because of its Avodah Zarah connotations, it's not used. And in modern English, the hermaphrodite would refer more to an animal than a person anyways. The androgyne, that sounds very similar to androgynous, and what you see used throughout the English translations of this Masechta. Andro from the word man, like android, for example, and G-Y-N, gyne, or gin, is referring to woman, like gynecologist, etc. So the androgyn is someone who is both male and female. In truth, outside of Torah literature, this is not a very frequently used word, and if it is, it's used to refer to someone who's looked at as having an ambiguous gender as opposed to ambiguous sex. I don't want to get into that chiluk now, but the proper term that's used here in the 21st century in scientific literature for a person who has both male and female parts is intersex. However, that doesn't sound so appropriate, and therefore we won't use that term. We'll stick with androgen. Okay, so here we go. The Mishnah starts out by saying, we'll call it a Mishnah from now on, because it's in our Mishnayos. The Mishnah says, Tanya, it says in a Braisa, androgynous, when it comes to the androgynous, someone who has both male and female, or partially male and partially female, or ambiguous male and ambiguous female genitalia, and therefore we're not sure if it's a male or female, yeshbo drachim shavala anashim, in some ways the androgen's halachic status is like a man, yeshbo drachim shavala anashim, in other ways the halachic status of the androgen is treated as if he were a woman. I'll refer to him as a he throughout this parak. In some ways, the androgen is halakhically the same as both men and women. And in some ways, the androgen's halakhic status is different from both men and women.